Peter Grimrose looked back at the surgeon who just did his wife's delivery.
When can I take them home?
After 24 hours. Look, Mr. Grimrose, she will be no less than any normal child. It's nothing but an unfortunate occurrence that your daughter has been born with a partial face. I'm happy that you're accepting her the way she is. Congratulations.
The new father smiled, but only the gods heard his heart.
People of Moorview are in the mood for celebrations right now. Today, one of their own has taken the seat of town mayor after a successful win at the town hall elections. Mayor Peter Grimrose addressed his people at the local churchyard and got applause and cheer in return. Despite having a disfigured daughter, he didn't hide her inside the house. He is quite proud of her and thinks she is more than capable to live a normal life. People of this town raised their voices in support. They said this is exactly how a strong and supportive father should be. Irrespective of his inherited family wealth, the mayor chose to put his daughter in public school so that she could have a normal life like every kid in this town. This shows the robustness and broad-minded mentality of the mayor. No doubt, his impressive character won people's hearts. Stay tuned for more news. We'll be back after a short break.
Alice was getting her lunch from the locker when a big damn basketball hit her head. With the sudden attack, she lost her balance and fell on the floor. Her lunchbox broke, and the noodles from it scattered everywhere.
Look at that freak. Poor Alice Grimrose.
She got up and saw Edmund and his gang standing behind her. They laughed.
Leave me alone, Edmund!
Like the rest of your face?
Alice slammed the locker and ran into the girls' washroom crying. She stopped in front of the bathroom mirror. Her long, black hair covered her partial face. She never cuts her hair. She lets it grow waist length. Her shaking hand swiped the hair behind her ears, and her scary face flashed in the mirror. 1,000 times, she tried to imagine how her face would look if she had the rest.
You are ugly! You are hideous, Alice!
She spent the rest of her day inside the bathroom. She kept waiting for the final bell so she could end this horrible day and go home. When the bell rang, she waited for 10 minutes and came out of the washroom. All the kids were gone by then. Alice heaved a sigh of relief. She can go home now. That night at the dinner table, Alice asked her father,
Dad, why can't I be homeschooled?
Mr. Grimrose looked at his wife, who was eating quietly.
That's not possible, Alice. You're already enrolled in the town school.
But they hate me, Dad. They call me a freak and treat me like shit.
I will not tolerate such language in this house, so think before speaking.
Please, Dad, I swear I will study hard even if I get homeschooled. Mom can teach me.
A rush of anger clouded Mayor Grimrose's face.
Is this all you're doing?
What are you saying?
You're secretly manipulating Alice to leave the public school.
No, Peter. Can't you see how miserable she feels there? If she isn't comfortable there, then we as parents should listen.
I know my duty as a parent, Missy. No way my daughter is going to hide from this world. Why don't you see that the town looks up to our family? We have an image to uphold. If she quits now, everyone will call us weak.
You mean they will realize how you used my illness for your sympathy vote, Dad?
Shut up!
Mayor Grimrose slapped Alice, and the house sank into darkness.
You'll graduate from Moorview High School, and that's the end of this discussion.
Peter Grimrose left the room, and poor Alice threw away her dinner plate. It broke into pieces. Mrs. Grimrose held her hand, trying her best to comfort their suffering daughter.
Alice, your father wants what's best for you. I will see your teacher, and we'll punish those kids who are tormenting you. Everything will be all right then.
Really? You mean like last time, when you complained and they made my life even worse?
She got up from the table and stormed upstairs. Missy Grimrose followed her like a heartbroken caregiver.
Alice, listen to me.
Alice went straight into her room.
I wish I was never born. I'm like a monster to everyone.
She slammed the door in her mother's face. Mrs. Grimrose sat on the stairs crying. She knows very well that she has no power to go against her husband. If she had, she could have taken Alice to a plastic surgeon long ago. She, too, knows very well how her husband used their dysfunctional daughter to climb up to the seat of town mayor, whom the town worships as the ideal father, is the most selfish parent in reality. Alice looked around and saw Edmund with his ruthless gang standing in the corner laughing at her like usual. She wanted no trouble today, so she skillfully avoided them the entire day. When the final bell rang, she came up with a plan. Instead of leaving the usual exit, she took the back door. Alice walked down the hallway, constantly looking over her shoulders. Just as she stepped outside the school gate, the three demons blocked her way.
We have some unfinished business, ugly.
You didn't forget, did you, Alice? Let's get her.
Before Alice could turn back and run, the two girls jumped and grabbed her hands. They held her tightly while Edmund took out a pair of scissors from his backpack.
Why are you so scared to show your face to this world? Come, let's make things easy for you. Let everyone see how filthy your face is!
Edmund chopped Alice's long black hair from wherever he could. Sam put her hand over Alice's mouth so that no one could hear her scream. The three cruel kids robbed her of the only chance she had to appear normal in front of the world. With her hair cut to inches from waist length, her entire face was now exposed.
Look at the ugliest girl in the world!
Die, you pig!
They kept cursing and insulting her while she sat on the floor crying. Just then, she noticed the broken window above her. Pieces of glass were still hanging on it. She picked one up and attacked Edmund with it. Her first blow cut him in the arm. Then she kicked Trisha on the leg, which made her fall to the ground.
You witch! I'm gonna kill you now!
Alice realized they were going to kill her if she stayed here a second more. She turned around and ran straight to the woods. Edmund's footsteps mixed with Trisha's and Samantha's vengeful screams made Alice fear for her life. The woods were deep. Alice didn't care where she was going. She just wanted to go home and never come out of her room again. She ran and ran until the chasing footsteps faded away. After running for quite some time, she finally stopped to look back. She didn't see her bullies. Her scared eyes kept searching for them, though. Alice was looking everywhere. The woods are completely silent now. Only Alice's panting breath can be heard amidst the tall trees. Just when she began thinking that she was safe now, a hand pulled her from behind, and her scream echoed. The Grimroses were sitting in their living room with worried faces. Two cops standing next to them, constantly asking questions.
When was the last time you saw your daughter?
Right before she left for school.
Is it possible she left with a friend?
She has no friends!
Control yourself, Missy!
Don't tell me what to do! Our daughter hasn't come home for 3 days, Peter! 3 freaking days!
Mrs. Grimrose left the room. Mayor Grimrose tried to handle the situation so the cops don't blame him for his daughter's disappearance.
Please excuse my wife, officer. She's having difficulty dealing with the current situation.
Understandable. Any parent who hasn't seen their child for 3 days would react exactly like your wife, Mr. Grimrose.
An average-height woman with a sharp face and bright eyes entered the room and sat next to the mayor.
And you are?
I'm Detective Cooper, assigned to your daughter's case. The higher authorities said you were adamant to bring her home as soon as possible. But now, to my surprise, you seem calm.
What does that mean?
It means, Mr. Mayor, that you don't look as heartbroken as your wife.
How dare you say that? I love Alice more than anything in this world. The entire town knows how much she means to me.
The entire town knows how much you have advertised her defect to gain the sympathy of your people. Did you know she was bullied in school?
This is outrageous! You can't talk to me like this!
Did you know she was bullied?
Yes. Yes, Alice mentioned.
And what did you do about it?
There's nothing I could do about it. She needs to toughen up. I won't be around to save her from every trouble for the rest of her life.
We found Alice's chopped up hair in the school backyard. I think her bullies took things too far this time. We are questioning each one of her classmates. I'm confident we will find out what happened to your daughter soon.
Do you think she's dead?
Detective Cooper turned her face towards Mrs. Grimrose. She was looking at her with a scared, painful face.
We certainly haven't found a body, Mrs. Grimrose. But in case of missing person cases, if the individual is not found within 24 hours, then the statistics say...
Oh my God! No! No! Alice!
Mrs. Grimrose broke into tears. Alice's grandmother came and escorted her inside the bedroom while trying her best to console the poor mother. Mayor Grimrose's face turned pale for the first time. He looked genuinely scared. The sudden change in his body language depicted that he wasn't ready for a shock like this. The cops left with Detective Cooper. The entire police department ran 4 to 5 area searches to find Alice Grimrose's body, but nothing surfaced. Detective Cooper was just about to get inside her car when she heard an officer yelling her name while running towards her.
Detective! I found a body!
Without any more ado, everyone drove to Moorview High. On the school ground, the cops were lined up under this big oak tree. Under the tree laid the body of Edmund Fisher.
Who found him?
The watchman. He said he heard a snapping sound followed by a scream.
Call him.
The officer brought the school security, and after 15 minutes of interrogation, a few shocking pieces of information surfaced. It seemed like Edmund climbed this tree, and the branch he relied on for support backstabbed him. The branch broke, sending Edmund plummeting. After a particularly nasty drop, he landed on a strong upright branch that split his entire body down the middle. It was a grisly sight. What sounded more shocking is that the watchman saw a girl with long black hair walking into the school. The news of the death of Edmund Fisher spread all over town like wildfire. His dear friends Trisha and Samantha couldn't believe their ears. They also felt weird that Edmund went behind the school all alone. Upon questioning, both Trisha and Samantha told the cops that Edmund told them his dad is on the way to pick him up, so he was going to wait in the school. The girls left for home knowing their friend will be picked up by his parents, and then he was found dead. Even though Edmund's death got ruled out as an accident, Detective Cooper couldn't wrap her mind around it. Is Alice still alive? And if yes, then did she have any part in Edmund's death? Trisha used to come here with Edmund. They both loved swings, and today she is alone here for the first time. Not even in her wildest dreams she thought she would lose Edmund. Are the rumors true? Did Alice visit him when he died? What if Edmund died because of the horrible things they did to Alice? She didn't tell her parents or the cops about how they used to bully Alice every day since middle school. Trisha sat on one of the swings, the sadness curled up inside of her chest. She felt heavy and broken. The more she swung, the more Edmund's face flashed in front of her teary eyes. In the spur of the moment, she didn't realize she was going too high. Suddenly, she heard a metallic creak and everything went black.
I was walking my dog and saw her swinging. Suddenly, the frame collapsed. I ran to catch her, but she instantly fell to the ground. Her face struck hard on that rock. Her brain splattered on my shoes. And then I saw this girl with long black hair standing across the lot, watching this poor girl die. I couldn't see her face.
Okay, you can go now.
A big frown appeared on Detective Cooper's forehead. A young officer with a worried face came to her.
What's happening to this town, Detective? Everyone's saying...
Saying what?
That Alice's ghost's taking revenge on her bullies. I mean, there's no doubt both deaths are accidents. We even have a witness. Those who saw the dead bodies also saw Alice in the same spot. If she was alive, someone would have seen her. A 12-year-old girl can't hide in this town without being seen for 4 straight days.
So, you want me to tell the authorities that a girl's ghost is killing the kids of this town?
The officer immediately went quiet. Cooper looked at the swing frame. Suddenly, a cold shiver ran down her spine. The second swing, which was still attached to the frame, caught her eyes. The bolt looked sturdy and strong enough to hold the swing in place. No way this could have loosened up on its own. She quickly looked at the broken swing. Its bolt had a few marks on it.
What do you think this is?
Probably tool marks. When the workers fixed the swing, the wrench they used might have resulted in these marks.
Or when someone loosened the screw on purpose, knowing that Trisha often comes here.
But how could they know she'll sit on this particular swing? She could have sat on this one, too.
You're right. Let's check. Sit on this one.
What?
Just sit on it, Miller.
Officer Miller sat on the swing, and as he took one leap, the bolts broke down, making him fall, along with the second swing.
You're right. Both the screws are loosened up. It's a trap.
Come with me.
Detective Cooper drove to the school's backyard with Officer Miller. She parked the car outside the fence and then entered the ground from the small back gate. Her eyes were constantly checking out the tree. She took off her boots and started climbing. Officer Miller watched the respected detective climbing the tree like a kid. When she reached the broken branch from where Edmund fell, she got goosebumps. Without a single doubt, she realized before Edmund climbed onto this tree, someone cut it halfway with a saw. So when the poor boy sat on it, his weight snapped the branch right away. These aren't the works of any ghost. These are well-executed murders.
Didn't one girl's parents say she was a close friend of Trisha and Edmund?
Yes, the daughter of the town pastor.
Drive to their house. Right now.
They jumped in the car and took up full speed. The setting sun is slowly pushing the town into the darkness of the night. When they reached the town pastor's house, they heard a scream. A woman was screaming. Detective Cooper ran inside the house and found the inevitable has already taken place. The pastor's daughter is missing. She was in her room the entire day, but when her mom went to call for her for dinner, she found her room window open and the study table lamp lying on the floor.
Someone took her away! I bet it's the killer, Detective!
Did Samantha have any favorite place in this town?
What? I don't...
This is not time to think, Pastor. Your daughter's life is in danger.
She loved the lake. She often visits it on holidays.
Miller, get in the car and call for backup.
When they reached the lake, they could hear the screams of the little girl coming from the lake. Detective Cooper took out her gun, and so did Officer Miller. They both ran to the end of the lake, following the screams. What they saw swept the ground beneath their feet. Samantha was held to the ground by an unknown attacker. The light post illuminated the scene. At some distance stood Alice, the disfigured daughter of the town mayor. She had a wig on her head, which was already out of place, and she was staring at Samantha with wide, still eyes.
Stop! Throw the knife away and back away from Samantha. I swear, I won't say it again. One wrong move, and I will shoot you, Mrs. Grimrose.
Mrs. Grimrose turned back at Detective Cooper with hungry eyes and a demonic face. The sweet, heartbroken mother has suddenly turned into a demon from hell. Seeing the gun pointed at her, she slowly let go of Samantha.
The moment I saw red nail polish on the tree branch, I knew it was you. I remembered the crumbled nail polish on your right hand the first day we met. It's hard to climb a tree with such long nails, I suppose.
The backup arrived within 5 minutes and escorted the girl back to her house safely. Mrs. Grimrose was taken into custody, and Alice was sent to the hospital for further checkups. Detective Cooper was sitting opposite of Mrs. Grimrose. She had no remorse in her eyes, no regrets. The town mayor stood on the other side of the glass and watched his wife confess to the murders of their daughter's bullies.
Yes, it was I who killed those piglets. They deserved it. I went to pick up Alice from school that day. I was going to tell her that I'll homeschool her myself, that the kids won't be bullying her anymore. And then I heard her scream. I went to the backyard and I saw her running into the woods chased by those three cruel kids. They chopped her hair off. Can you believe that, Detective? They held her down and chopped off her hair so she can be even more miserable. So, it was you who hid Alice all this time and made it look like she got abducted, or even worse, murdered. Yes, I kept her in the attic. She hasn't spoken a single word since that day. She's like a living husk now. That's when I decided I will take her revenge. I couldn't stop her selfish father from using her illness as a show. That disgusting son of a witch is the main reason why my daughter never felt safe. After killing Samantha, I was gonna kill him too. Why did you bring Alice to the crime scenes? I wanted her to watch. I wanted to show her that her mom loves her. She's not going to let people live once they have hurt her daughter. I thought, if she watched them die, she might start talking again. But she never said a single word. Just witnessed these deaths like a mannequin.
Detective Cooper ordered the officers to take Mrs. Grimrose away. She was put into prison for lifetime. Mayor Grimrose resigned from his post and left without any traces. Alice lives with her grandmother now. No one knows when she will talk, but her grandmother lets her wear the wig still today.